Welcome. I declare the meeting open at 2 p.m. 3 p.m. Apologies, Chris. Just for the record, in attendance, Councillor Robert Harris, Councillor Scott Valentine, Councillor Adrian Kowal, Councillor Steve Sexton, and Councillor Dawson Bradford, and members of the staff, Chris Paget, CEO, and Bruce Brennan, Manager of Works and Services. Councillor Eliza Dowling has taken leave of absence, and there are no apologies.
Apologies from Norrell Road.
Apologies. Thanks, Chris. There are no members of the public. No written questions provided in advance. So we'll move on to the officer's recommendation that the standing orders be suspended for the duration of the meeting to allow for granted bail on items. Moved by Councillor Valentine, seconded by Councillor Bradford. Item 6, confirmation of minutes from the previous ordinary meeting in Council on Wednesday the 19th, February 2025. The officer's recommendations of the minutes of the ordinary meeting council held on Wednesday, the 19th of February 2025, be confirmed as a true record of proceedings. Moved by Councillor Kowal and seconded by Councillor Sexton. Disclosure of interest, who presented? Okay, move on to item 9. Reports of officers and committees from the Deputy Chief, Executive Officer, the list of payments for February 2025. Is there any items that come to attention?
There was one, and I think, Bruce, you mentioned at last meeting about the hire of the side tipper and the truck. For the extra road works. Have we got an item in our budget to consider for potentially purchasing? Not this budget?
Maybe we'll see how we go.
Yep, alrighty. Is it in our 10-year plant replacement program?
It definitely will be. Whether we get it in financial year or next.
Yep.
Or we wait until we trade, ready to buy a new one, and we keep our trade. That's something that we've got to weigh out.
Alrighty, thank you.
Bruce, at 95.51, that traffic manager, that's just for the month, isn't it?
Yeah, we had them for about 6 to 8 weeks, 2 months nearly, I think, all up. It's about, on a 4-day week, it's about 11 to 12 grand, and then on a 5-day week, it's about 15. And that's cheap because they're locals. They're not paying accommodation, they're not paying meals. A lot cheaper than the city.
Sorry, what did you say for a 4-day week?
It's about 11 12,000, and it's about 15 for the 3 traffic controllers and 2 units.
Yep. So from the 6th of February, so the 20th of February is 2 weeks, and it's cost us 52 grand.
Yeah, no, that would be an extra week, and we'd have to have a look at that.
That's funded through the
freight that we're from. We can't work without it.
Yeah.
We haven't got the staff to do it. We're using a follow me vehicle as well, so yeah. And they're using our traffic light, so we're not paying for the traffic lights either. So that's how we've done it. Yeah.
Well, I see. I see there's a group coming down looking at that FAGS grant and how you can make better use of the money. Yeah. That sort of thing needs to be brought up because that is just absolutely taking
a lot of money.
Yeah. It is just taking a piece. And I understand you need to do it to cover your butt, but
Main Road's put the price up. Like they're all on $47 an hour, $46 an hour now.
But that still doesn't add up to those numbers.
No. Yes.
So did you, Chris, did you want to elaborate on that or Bruce, why there is a requirement? I think the well, one of the issues is that it's something we have to do. Being on the second freight network, they're not necessarily happy about it, but as Bruce said, with Main Roads and bump the rate up. And it is a very labour intensive job.
Yeah.
So essentially paying for the labour component puts the price up.
Two vehicles. and then one shadow blank.
Only work 2 hours, I think 2 hours of rest, I'm assuming.
Yeah, supposedly, yeah. We will give them a rest if they need a rest, but most of the time they don't take it. Yeah, our boys are different when they're doing it. They like to have their little break after 2 hours. And you can't do nothing about that, that's part of the rules and regs, you know.
And in this modern environment of risk management and network health and safety and public liability, there's just no way around it, that's part and parcel of what we've got to do.
We started off at Robbie's Inn and we had a couple of ratepayers come through and they were lost, barrows and big rows and all sorts of things, so you can't do about it when you're doing major construction, stabilising too low, gravel overlays and stove, you cannot, you need them, you've got to have them. The boys wouldn't even get out on the road if you didn't have them. So, in touch, would you, trouble free, there's a lot of money there.
Yeah, but you just want to take it up with these government licenses, just to get out of hand.
Yeah.
They want accountability.
Yeah.
They can start by showing them.
Yeah, you're right, Main Road's put the price up, we've got to pay it.
Yeah,
that's right. They've been big animals for their people and
they're
stuck in the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, council feels that they need to take it to the regional road groups or to the central country zone. Please, please. Yeah, make it feel snow to the delegates and they can on forward that information.
Yeah.
Are there any other items that the race concern or need to be questioned? EFT 95225, can only building company supply splashback tiles in kitchen?
Yep, that's the Popo School. Just trying to finish that kitchen off.
Yeah.
Come up quite well, actually, they did a good job. Fit it in with all the outer squareness and whatever of the old buildings. Needed to happen after the kitchen was installed, there's a few gaps and whatever around. And,
okay, there's nothing further. I would ask that someone.
Sorry, Rob, just one more. A food alert subscription to the Shire event.
So that one is the safe food handling techniques, a Shire Beverly post. For us, it's an online training course. It's free to anyone who wants to do it. So we've got to pay a contribution towards the licensing fee. So. Okay, nothing further. I would ask that someone moves the officer's recommendation. Councillor Valentine, seconded by Councillor Quall. The recommendation is carried. Outstanding rates. So this one, obviously you've seen, and we talked about previous meetings, with just making sure we're getting our debtors' balances under control. We brought some items to last council meeting. These are a couple more that we've gone through with Carice. One of them is a very large sum. It's been for the block 39 High Street in Hobby Inning. On the map, it's right up the back, basically where this pin is set up behind the old school. Pass it around. So that one apparently was a lady who unfortunately went bankrupt and then passed away. The estate public trustee didn't want to take the estate on. There was already a large debt at the time of her passing, and because the issue's been for whatever reason left.
the, obviously the rates and the interest that would continue to accrue on that. Now, the Shire's Debt Collection Agency commenced the process to transfer the ownership of that block to the Shire. That was a couple of years ago. We've only just recently found out about us formally having title to that block now. So we own the block, council, in a coming meeting, probably next month, we will discuss the options there, whether we need to keep it for any purpose in Poplow, or whether we look at selling that block off. I'm not sure. By the looks of it, it's probably not serviced. There may be electricity, but there certainly wouldn't be, don't think there'd be water up that end of town. So the simple fact is, even if we went to auction or public offers, you're not going to get a lot of money for that block. That's reality with Poplow. There's a large area of bushland behind it, some developed, so yeah, you probably wouldn't command a very high price for it. That said, we've got nearly $31,797.34 that will have accrued up to the 31st of March this year on that block, and there isn't any likelihood of being able to recover that. As I say, if council sells the property, you'll be able to pull some of that back. But nevertheless, this has been one of those properties that have been accounting for the greater portion of our Shire rates debt, and it is timely now that council wants to formally write that off. It's a bad debt, it's never going to be collectible. So the recommendation is there to write that one off. The second one is basically, unfortunately, due to an honest admin mistake and a quirk that two people on our rates book happen to have exactly the same name. In the process of a property being transferred to new ownership, the rates notice for the outstanding balance was sent to the right person but the wrong address, or vice versa, the wrong person with the right address, and wasn't realised. This wasn't picked up until February this year. So the new owners have paid everything they are required to pay in full. But they've asked, because it's not their mistake, it's not a mistake of the settlement officers, it's unfortunately just an admin error on our part, that the Shire Council will get writing that amount off, which is about $1,449.37. Had we realised at the time, obviously we could have fixed that there and then, but that's accrued since 23-24. So that's our two recommendations there, to write off those two amounts on those assessments. Total implication is $33,246 in rates debt.
Does anyone wish to speak for or against the officer's recommendation?
Makes sense to me.
So I point out, I'm not sure the reasons why the admin hasn't addressed that first one pop over before now in terms of writing off. It probably should have been jumped on a fair time ago rather than left to drag out. Nevertheless, it is timely that we put that on.
Can I just ask Chris, have the internal procedures been amended so this sort of stuff doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
So you answered your head. Thank you. After that, I'd be happy to move the officers.
So I'll just reiterate, the officers make recommendations that council write off these outstanding rates and charges as follows. Moved by Councillor Ballantyne, and seconded by Councillor Kowald. The recommendations carried. Item 9.2, compliance audit return.
Okay, so this one is basically, we held the audit committee meeting prior to this meeting. This report is for council to consider that recommendation from your committee that council adopts the completed compliance audit return for 2024, and that we, once completed, we certify and send that to the department. Going back over what we've already covered, we've identified out of the 94 questions three areas of limited or non-compliance in those test areas. There are generally 9 to 10 topic areas that are sampled each year. So we've done pretty well with a, I think it's 96-97% pass rate on that. The three areas identified in terms of our purchasing policy, following purchasing policy, some instances of non-compliance would that have occurred or have been identified in the 23-24 financial year, which primarily relate to some instances of purchases not having the required number of quotations where they have needed to have so, and in some other cases purchase orders being raised after expense has occurred and an invoice received. Again, this will be noted and we'll go through that with our auditors at the interim work in May. With integrated planning and reporting, the council had a corporate business plan adopted in June 2020. CVPs go for a 4 to 5 year window. This one was due to expire or did expire in June 2024. Council adopted a new strategic community plan in February 24, and at that time it would have been appropriate that a new corporate business plan being developed to align and support that new strategic community plan. That didn't happen. And so we're now in the process of getting that new plan together, and we hope to have it either by the end of this month or for presentation to council in April. And the final one in the optional other question areas, the section 5.96 of the Local Government Act prescribes certain pieces of information that we are obliged to publish, or CEO is obliged to publish on the Shire's website. We've identified that the confirmed minutes of committee meetings haven't been published on the website in accordance with the requirements for the last few years, I note that. A list of fees and charges hasn't been put up there in a discrete area that's easily locatable by people browsing the website. It is, however, included in our annual budget documents, which are up on the website, but nevertheless it would be useful and easy for people to click on a button and get that. Download that off the menu. And the other one, which we've since discovered, is actually on the website. We thought there had been no up-to-date map of the district, but that is on there. It is actually hidden away. But as I've mentioned, we are in the process of redesigning the website, so it's much more user-friendly. And that information can be located. We'll go back and make sure those committee meeting minutes are uploaded in so far as possible as well. So we have the ability now to actually put them in the years that they correspond to. So that's some work that we can do in the background in the coming months as well.
They've been archived.
They have been archived. So we've got them all there. They're just, for whatever reason, we're talking about on the website.
Does any of the councillors have anything to add to Chris's comments or summary?
No.
The audit committee recommendation is the council one adopts a completed compliance audit return for the period 1st of January 2024 to 31 December 2024 for the Shire of Cabellan, and two, instructs the CEO to submit the certified 2024 compliance audit return to the Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries by 31st of March 2025. Would someone like to move it? Councillor Ballantyne. Seconded by Councillor Kowal. All in favour? Recommendations carried.
Yeah, majority.
Item 9.2.2. Proposed Memorandum of Understanding for Tourism Services.
Okay, this is another instance where in our discussions and introductions with Shire of Narrogin that I've had over the past few months, we've identified, or Narrogin themselves have identified, that we're operating a couple of cooperative activities that have never had formal agreements or MOUs put in place. Last month we looked at and approved, council approved the MOU for the library services. This month we've got a draft MOU for the tourism services, and specifically around the operation of the Narrogin Dry Angel Visitor Centre, but also shared projects in tourism promotion for the region and our shared tourism assets. So a copy of that MOU is attached just behind this report. I've gone through it and there's nothing in there that I find concerning at all. Nothing that sort of binds us to anything that wasn't already happening. We're similarly the same in Narrogin. It's business as usual for them. It more just outlines what the objectives and the purposes are going to be, specifies what the annual financial contribution will be from us to the Shire of Narrogin, which was already being paid anyway for quite a few years previous to this, and then outlines the responsibilities of both partners, you know, including the governance arrangements and coordination and the membership of the management committee and how that will be reported back to our respective councils.
Why is an MOU important, Chris?
Probably just in terms of trying to formalise. I think we've moved away from the ideas of local governments having handshake deals or word of mouth deals. In these days, of accountability, transparency to our ratepayers and our electors. The government's preference is for everyone to have, you know, solid written documentation, contracts, MOUs, etc. It might seem like a bit of, you know, a bit more bureaucratic red tape.
I just have one issue, really small issue. Point four, financial contribution. In the review point, can we just leave that sentence as the contribution will be reviewed annually in April, and remove the and subject to mutual agreement for any adjustments? Should we find that the Shire of Narrogin Tourism Centre is doing absolutely nothing for their money? I think I read that to say that if we have a problem with that and Shire of Narrogin don't mutually agree to reduce the fee, then we're stuck with $3,500 a year for something that's not worth a dollar. So I don't have a problem with the review. I just think that if we come to a meeting and we feel that we're not getting value for money, we need to be able to say no without the Shire of Narrogin saying, well, you can't say no because it's not mutually agreed.
Further on, either party can terminate the agreement with the 90 days notice.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah. I thought I'll get rid of this as well. Yeah. And I think if you flip back to 6.2,
it's the same about a year and 3 years.
Yeah, as agreed as well, that's the 3,500. But just subject to mutual agreement just means that if we have a problem with it and want to reduce it and Narrogin don't agree to it, well, where do we go?
Okay.
But I don't think it's ever going to go down, however.
Someone like to speak against Councillor Valentine's proposal?
Sorry.
Any further discussion?
We're going to amend it.
Yeah, so can I amend the officer's recommendation to agree that Council accepts and approves the amended Tourism Services Memorandum of Understanding between the Shires of Kewarin and Narrogin. The amendment is to delete the words and subject to mutual agreement for any adjustments from point four of the understanding.
Okay, so Councillor Valentine's move.
Is that clear enough to?
Yep. Do we need someone to second it? Councillor Cole. And now we.
So now that amendment becomes a substantive motion.
So we need someone to. Move and seconded the amended motion. Councillor Valentine again. Councillor Sexton. Any dissension? No. Point 2.3, local government elections, 8th of October 2025.
Right, as outlined in there, the Local Government Act provides that the CEO is to be the returning officer for the local government election unless Council makes a decision to appoint a different returning officer. In many cases, Councils nominate WA Electoral Commission to do that for them. The Commission, as they always do, well before the ordinary elections come out, send each local government a cost estimate. Which is exactly that, an estimate, not a formal quote, to conduct the elections in their area, often using a postal election method, sometimes in-person voting. So we received this one from Commissioner Kennedy, actually came through in December. So the cost estimate for us from WAEC was around $13,092 based on the assumptions that they've listed there in their letter. I note that in October 23, which is our last ordinary election, the CEO was appointed or nominated as returning officer, and the ballot was conducted as voting in person. So we now need just council to determine whether they want to stick with that CEO running that process, and whether we want to do postal ballot or in person, or whether you elect for, choose the WAEC to undertake that at the cost, estimated cost.
Just for me, Chris, do we have 800 electors?
Population is 961, I think, from the ABS stats. So, I did note that's in right to the
And also, a response rate of approximately 40%.
That's pretty high for
closer to 25%.
That's pretty obvious. I suspect that those. It's been a generic cut and paste that's been put into that.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I don't know. They're quite always seem to vary, in my experience, what they actually estimate and what the end cost is usually a bit different. So.
I have two questions. Should we choose to have the CEO, Chris, perform the process? Chris, are you happy that you are going to be able to do that? You've skills and experience?
I have done in-person elections many, many times, yep. Especially in Jones. I quite enjoy that whole process. Yep. I'm more than happy to take that.
And my second question, what would be our cost if we did it internally in terms of wages and time?
That would be, on the road, off the top of my head, I must be honest, I haven't looked into that. Certainly in my time that's a necessary part of the role, so I wouldn't say it's going to take cost you anything extra from what you're...
Having said that, that takes you away from other duties.
Correct,
though.
Yeah. I can certainly look into that and calculate it for you.
But what we normally have is a couple of people up at the Popper Hall, yeah. And some here and that.
Yeah. And at least two polling places.
Two polling places, that's all we have. Yeah, two staff.
A couple of staff in each. You have a returning officer on site in that polling booth, usually a deputy or an officer there as well.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, we have an election.
That's right, that's the other factor, of course. You might find that when your nominations come around, you do have three vacancies this year, but you may only receive three or fewer nominations, which means, obviously, the last time it's uncontested, so don't care about it.
My view is pretty simple exercise, and just keep stick with the local CEO.
I'm not fussed either way, so I have done them before. That seems to be the way QB has gone in the past, and I know that was put into my KPIs as well to run the election. So.
Okay. Is anyone prepared to speak for a postal election? In that case, I'll read the officer's recommendation. The council declares in accordance with section 420, in brackets 1 of the Local Government Act 1995, the chief executive officer to be responsible for the conduct of the 2025 ordinary election, together with any other elections or polls which may be required, and decides in accordance with section 4.61, in brackets 1, of the Local Government Act 1995, that the method of conducting the election will be as a voting in-person election. Would someone like to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Kowal, seconded by Councillor Bradford. All in favour? Carried.
Where do I next on the block? Where do I go next on the block this time?
No, I'm
not. Item 9.2.4, superannuation for elected members.
And now this one, obviously, again, part of the reforms, recent reforms to the Local Government Act. So from the 1st of February, all local governments in the state have had the option to resolve by absolute majority to make superannuation contributions for their council members. For Class 1 and 2 local governments in October, it will become mandatory to make it. For Class 3 and 4 local governments, it's optional to choose for the members to choose if they want those contributions or not. Back in, I think it was February 2022, there was a questionnaire that came out from the department over a lot of these reforms. I've looked through the records, I can't locate the QB response. But one of those questions was, are you in favour of super for elected members? In talking with Councillor Dowling, she had said to me that at the time people didn't think it was necessary, these are voluntary roles. What you get paid in terms of sitting fees and things, it would only be a small amount for super anyway, and the admin burden probably wasn't worth it. I don't have an opinion one way or another. That's probably why, contrary to what I usually do, I put the two options in there for recommendations. You either do want it or you don't. To me, it makes no difference to the staff. It will be a bit more admin time to do it. However, if you so wish to do it, it's not a problem for us. I know that many of our neighbouring shires have not gone down that route, they just didn't know.
It's Band 4 councils. We're near paupers in the local government, don't we? Comparative to Band 1 and Band 2, where the councils are professional councils, essentially, and on salaries up as $50,000 a year. They're my thoughts. So just ask for the rest of the council to put any opinions.
My view is that the amount of super we pick up for this is just an annoyance. I've had to administer another bit of stuff in our own personal business, but I'm sure I've managed it. I could be bothered with another little bit of super dribbling and so on. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
A no from me.
A no from me.
Yeah.
So, therefore, Chris, the officer's recommendation is.
So that will be the council does not support the payment of super to the elected members.
I move that
by Councillor Ballantyne, seconded by Councillor Wogg. Carry. Item 9.2.5, application for development approval, extended shed and extended garage, oversized, lot 134. Number 142, Marmalian Road, Poppenini.
So we put in there the whole development application with the overhead that the owners have done up and sent through to Steve Thompson, our planner.
Can I just ask, the photographs on page 53 through 55, are they the existing shed?
That's what we added on to.
Yeah, so that's not what he wants to bring in. No. That's his existing shed at the moment.
So if you look at the overhead, it's the land date from the land date website. He's got on there the dimensions of what he wants to add on to both of those structures. One is the garage carport lean-to, which runs quite close to the road. And the other one's the big existing shed that he wants to expand and longer and wider.
So he's asking for two.
Pretty much, yeah.
So the one on the road, how far does he want to extend that?
112,
160. Yeah, sorry, the quality of the image is not that clear.
So this is where Kevin.
This is, I think, so he doesn't do something else. He's a big seller. Kevin's all dying for about how he sheds.
Yeah. It's been long, yeah.
road anyway, so.
Yeah, natural road.
Right, so, you know, in the middle of nowhere, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine, and as long as there's room for fire breaks and all those sorts of things around there.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the shed is for storage. Yeah, it's also kind of commercial industrial, not being there.
Brings that close to the boundary, just as a lobby farm, I think.
So the extension that they proposed is closer to the York Road boundary, still allows for the fire breaks, but it is less than our planning setback standard under our planning scheme in our outbuildings. But that said, there's, it doesn't really, maybe some visual amenity impact, but I don't think there are many, if any, neighbouring properties that you have to be concerned about that. So I'd say the primary problem would be looking at the fire breaks, but it doesn't, there's no undue fire bushfire risk there, and there's still sufficient sufficient area for the appropriate fire break to be put in around the fence line and that shed, the carpet, sorry.
It's not very expensive, but I've been played with it.
Is there, can't see any allowance for a water tank to collect water off this larger shed for potential fire control measures?
So I think that's one of the recommendations, is this prior to occupation, so the occupation is issued, that we provide the details of how the storm water will be harvested and stored.
How strong will it be addressed? Yep.
I don't know if that is the blue zone.
So the
point two.
Yeah, so this is point two in the recommendation.
Has he indicated, so he's indicated that he's bought a second-hand shed for about $2,000. Are we talking about a hodgepodge of rusty tin, or are we talking about consistent colourbond type?
I think it's got to be consistent with what's already there. The outbuildings policy, which we've attached,
we have got
some requirements there on zinc, aluminum or colourbond construction requirements, so it need to be in line with those rather than random pieces of different colour and type of metal, tin, etc.
He's just going to build himself as he goes.
Yeah.
Get your FIFO workers easy in here. 1 week in a month, no idea.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, I'll probably blend in anyway, because
I
like it to them.
Okay, so I think we've had enough time to close the matter.
I would
support that. So I'd like to move the officer's recommendation, Councillor Kowal, seconded by Councillor Bradford. All in favour? Carried. Item 9.2.6, presiding members of the council committees. Page on that's page 58-59. On the local planning policy.
Right,
So this is another one that's come about because of the amendments and reforms to the Act. Means now that we have a presiding member of a committee established under section 5.8 of the Act, such as our Audit Committee, that it is require that council must appoint that presiding member, whereas once before you would effectively members of the committee would elect that presiding member from amongst themselves. So it's now requires council to appoint that presiding member. Even though we do have other committees, as we discussed previously, the Bushfire, BFAC, our LEMC, our Cemeteries Advisory Committee, they're not established under that particular section of the Act, so the only committee that it applies to is our Audit Committee. In which case, Councillor Ballantyne is currently the presiding member, and the recommendation is that Council now formally appoint him in accordance with that section of the Act 5.12.
Anyone like to speak against the officer's recommendation?
Who's going to take the risk?
This is how
I thought
Seco
was coming.
Okay, some might support the officer's recommendation. Councillor Gawalt. Seconded by Councillor Simpson. Motion is carried. Congratulations, Councillor Ballantyne.
Thanks, Bill.
Good luck, the Minister for Health.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, we later have to have an independent person who has been presiding member, is that right?
Yes, so that was my question earlier on about terms of reference. So that part we will address once we've got the terms of reference together. So there is now a requirement for you to have independent member or members, and once that becomes fully into play, that part of the regulation will be coming in, so I understand that there will need to be. The presiding person will need to be an independent member.
And do they get paid for that also? Just to
yes, I think they will.
You want to get someone for free, I
guarantee. So I think what they're looking at, Walga putting together like a panel, a list of names, people who could act as independent members, that won't stop us from still receiving applications from interested parties. I think we're going to be compelled to use those independent member lists, but
I'm sure that'll be a nice cheap list.
Yeah, I'm not so optimistic it'll be cheap.
$200 a year plus travel time and accommodation.
Mind you, that said, the council does set the fees for committee meetings, so then probably I guess in the regulations, once again, there'll be a limit that we must set or must have to pay an independent member.
So we're not going to have a choice. A presiding member will have to be independent.
That's part of their reform.
Yeah, that's a little bit tough on some of the smaller councils around the place.
Very difficult.
In a community that doesn't necessarily have anyone with that skill set in there.
Correct, yes. And I think that's part of the logic was behind Walga or the department establishing a list of accredited or people who are qualified in those areas of audit and risk management that might be able to tap on the shoulder.
Find something they can do us eventually in one room and come local.
Yeah, I think that's
up 6 or 7 shires.
It's exactly part of their thinking that they'll have someone who can do a number of shires.
Exciting job. Okay.
Next meeting, firstly, we need to hold a meeting on the interim for financial report for this month, for March. Budget review and long-term financial plans.
Mid-year budget review, obviously because Morella's been away, we haven't been able to do the normal financials and finish the mid-year budget review. So Martin is helping us with that. So the proposal was that we conduct a special meeting Friday the 31st. My initial conversation with Rob was next Wednesday, potentially next Friday, but we'll see how everyone's availability will be.
Thursday, yes.
So we've got the Grants Commission hearing on Thursday as well.
Yeah, that's
at 3:20. So we'll work around that one.
Will that fit? Well, if people are available to come for the Grants Commission one, we could hold that before then, if that worked for you.
You're all moving forward.
Oh, really?
Is it?
So the Grants Commission kick off is 3:20, so 2:30-ish.
Okay. How long have you been there now, has it?
Probably not even that long. Probably half an hour.
Sorry, what time was it?
2:30ish on Thursday.
2:30.
Thursday 27th.
Thursday 27th, yes.
Yeah. I'm seeing the Grants Commission meeting. Okay. Next order of council meeting will be held on the 16th of April, Wednesday 16th of April. Same place, same time. Now, did I ask about leave of absences? Is there any requests for leave of absences? Absence from the meeting?
We did.
Not did, yeah. I came across this. I wasn't from the member. Okay. Okay, so I'll close the meeting at 3:46.